irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, March 6th. Next Friday is Friday the 13th.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does that frighten you?
No, not at all. And I think we just had one, too. Like a February 13th.
Really?
Yeah, because Valentine's Day was Saturday. So it was like Friday the 13th then, too. I'm okay with it. Nothing happened.
That's true. Wait a minute. Yeah, the 14th. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Good thing for noticing. Now, I don't understand why it has to be bad luck for people, but I guess it's like what? Yeah, I don't know. Do you know the story
significance
behind it?
No, yeah. I have no idea. But I mean, you would think that I would be into like that kind of thing, especially since I'm very into like the moon and astrology.
Right.
But yeah, no, I have no idea what it's. I think it's about that movie, Friday the 13th.
Well, no, I think the movie started after that. Yeah, I mean, Friday the 13th has always been, or since the beginning of time, you know, or whatever.
I think it has to do with the Bible.
Yeah, it has to do with Christianity, I think.
Probably, because they like to inflict fear. Just kidding, guys.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Says the girl who's afraid of the full moon.
Yeah. No, actually, I was thinking about this, you know, and sometimes when people argue that, you know, Christians persecuted people and invaded and things like that. Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Right.
You know, that's when religion was still ancient. Now, things are different, you know,
right.
And yet the Muslims are still living in the Stone Age. The thing is that what's amazing is the Muslims that are exposed to the extremists, and then they have to take the same crap as everybody else. You know, I mean, that's what ISIS is doing. If Muslims, they're killing other Muslims, and that's against the religion.
It's just so crazy what's going on.
It really is. So, that's just it. But I don't really want to get into that. I forgot to bring you the ISIS book.
It's okay.
I had it ready to bring it, but I'll bring it to you on Monday.
Thank you. It's okay. Yeah. I wasn't going to read it over the weekend anyway.
No.
That might be like a weeknight thing. Like.
Yeah. I'll bring you the one that's thinner. It's only about 120 pages or
right.
So it's easier to handle.
I can commit to that.
Yeah. So I wanted to, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. His name is Nigel Barker, and he was or has been, I don't know if it's still going on, America's Next Top Model.
I think he was a judge on it for like 9 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That show still lives.
Actually, 17 years on America's Next Top Model. And now he's hosting The Face. So we'll ask him about that. He's already also got a new book out. So we'll find out what's going on.
I'd love to see this book. I'm sad we didn't get a copy.
Yeah, Beauty Equation. Yeah. Well, maybe they'll send us one. I'll ask them for one.
That'd be great.
They'll send one. It was sort of like a last-minute thing, so they probably didn't have time to send it.
Well,
I'm
excited to talk to him because he's somebody I've seen on TV for a while.
I know. That's cool. So by the name Nigel, he's probably British, right?
I think he is.
Yeah, because usually Nigel is British guys, you know. I don't know an American named Nigel. But at any rate, I thought it was the older guy. I thought on the show, isn't there like an older guy too who's British? Or maybe that's another show.
I think you're thinking of American Idol.
No, not American
Idol. Like Nigel Lithgow.
No. There was an older man. I think he was on one of those shows. I don't know. But, or maybe he was on Dancing with the Stars or something. Isn't there like an older British guy there?
I think there's one on every show.
Yeah, probably, right?
There's like a quota.
Yeah, like Simon Cowell. And,
right.
Yeah.
There must be one older British man per show, per reality TV show.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're bringing these shows from England and that's part of the deal, you know? I don't know.
Listen, these British people are very talented when it comes to like singing, acting, everything.
Very. I mean, that's really where rock and roll started. I would say, you know, Beatles and Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and all of them. So, Oh, I wanted to bring up Tinder since we talk about it a lot, okay. Right? And I was thinking about this because I'll tell you why. This morning I get up and on my phone it says, oh, you have Tinder, people interested in you on Tinder, go in and match. I said, okay, this is an unusual message, I'll go in, right? I decided I'm going to test this. So I swiped right on every picture from the beginning. Nothing. No matches.
Well, now, do you know the algorithm? It starts with the man. So how it works is the men swipe the women first. So you would pick all the people you would be interested in. And then when a female opens her phone to go, she will see all the men. And then she receives the matches.
Oh, okay. Well, I need to understand that.
So then, like, let's say you turn on Tinder later. Whoever saw that you liked them earlier and matches with you will pop up.
Are you sure about that? Because often it asks me if I want to match with...
it asks you, but...
You know, that means they selected me before. You know what I'm saying? If I get there and it says, hey, you've got a match, it means that they've already picked me. So I don't
That's
know
true.
If I don't know if it's
well, it's supposed to be the men first. That's okay. What the algorithm is supposed to be. So that when women get a match, it's like... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like at the bar, like men come up to us.
Okay, well, let me explain to you what's going on. Okay, and this gave me sort of like a revelation about where I stand in my life right now.
Okay.
Okay. Because you said you get like hundreds, right? You get dozens, let's say.
A lot.
Okay, now let's see what the difference is, right? Now, you're a 30-year-old, very attractive female.
Thank you.
Right? So you've got three things. You're a woman.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah.
And you're pretty.
Thanks.
Okay. I've got none of these. Now, all these three things are very desirable for the other sex.
Uh-huh.
Right? All of them. So so you're going to get hundreds.
Yeah.
And you can just live on Tinder. You don't need anything else because there's enough people interested in you that you can select and be selective, right?
Yes.
Okay. So... what I'm saying to you is this, is that I keep changing like the age group that I'm looking at, okay? I decided, okay, so I haven't put it in the 50s yet, but let's say 40s, okay?
Okay.
Nothing. And what I'm telling you is this, is that someone like me, who's got nothing going for him except maybe decent looks for my age. Okay, and I'm a great person too, but people won't know that, you know. But nobody's looking for a 54-year-old man. So what it means, Jen, is I better fucking find somebody, or it's just going to get harder all the time.
I mean, that is sure. If that's what came of that, yes. Also, there are other dating sites that probably are better.
They haven't worked for me. Yeah, but Tinder is probably for younger people.
I think so because of our attention span and also what we're probably looking for at the time. And however, you said you didn't put anything in your profile.
Yeah.
Women of, you know, a later age, I think, would probably look for substance. So if you don't write anything, they're not going to read you and they're not going to like you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So
you have to write something.
So you got
to
tell me how to write
the
profile, okay?
Yeah, we will do a lesson.
Can you do that within Tinder or is it on Facebook?
No, it's in Tinder.
Okay, because it picks up my line from Facebook.
You can change it.
Okay.
Right.
All right, cool. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll write like a whole book for these
women. Not a book,
okay.
Paragraph.
Okay, a chapter.
People tend to put like either where they came from or where they live now in the city or what they do, their height, their... Right. What they're looking for.
Okay, so I'll put all of that in.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, and maybe it'll work. We'll see.
Let's do a test, okay? You'll do it today. You'll Tinder over the weekend, and Monday we'll see what you got.
Okay.
All right. It's a good experiment.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, what are you going to do, man? So anyway, I think when I understand this, and when it finally sinks in, then I can understand that Tinder is not for me. Yeah, it's not for my age group. That's all.
I think it's not even for mine, truthfully.
Well, I don't know about
I'm already quitting Tinder. I've already decided. I've unmatched everybody. I'm quitting Tinder. I'm scared of everyone. Stranger danger. Because a girlfriend of mine wrote me yesterday and said, are you on Tinder still? You need to get off. People are getting raped and killed from this thing.
Really?
Because if, like...
I haven't heard of it.
There's a lot of catfishing going on, which I actually then noticed Tinder added, like, other... reasons you would remove somebody, like unmatch. So it's like they're harassing you. They have lewd and inappropriate profile. They, when you met them in person, they were inappropriate. All these other things now. When it used to say like unmatch with somebody, it didn't ask you why. You could just unmatch with them. So right. like this came in like a couple days ago even.
Uh-huh.
So I think they are having issues with safety. Like if I don't have any mutual friends with somebody and they wrote nothing about themselves, I'm like, well, right. you're probably a killer. So,
or at least you're not taking a chance on them.
Well, and here's the thing. I was wasting all this time like matching with whoever looked appropriate. Then I'm like, wait, I'm never going to go actually meet you because you're a stranger. You're a perfect stranger. Unless you have mutual friends with me and somebody can vouch that you have been alive before, you're real, your face is what it is in the picture, you do the job you say you do, and you haven't killed people yet,
yeah,
I will meet you in person. Okay. But other than that, I'm like, I'm not gonna just have pen pals and talk to people for shits and giggles.
Yeah,
I'd rather spend my time talking to people that are potential dating prospects.
Right. So now when you communicate, do you go from Tinder to text or to phone calls, or do you stay on Tinder?
Usually Tinder to text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like phone calls. Like, I think...
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I'm not opposed to, like, witty banter over text. But then if you're going to, like, ask somebody out, I would say do that by phone or, like, the day of your meeting, like, communicate and be like, I'm here, like, I'm outside or whatever it is. Or, like, there should be a phone call.
Somewhere. Yeah. No, that's true. But last night on one of our shows, there's a show called Modern Male Radio. And we should invite the host sometimes. His name is Jared. And he's like into like, you know, dating, fashion, style, things like that, you know, for men. He wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
So he said something interesting yesterday. He's like 28, I think. And he said this. This made me think. He says, under 30, text. Over 30, phone. And I thought, you know what? It totally makes sense to me. Like, you know, with the one that we talked about with the matchmaker.
Yeah.
You know, I think she was like in her late 30s or something.
Uh-huh.
And I texted and I made that cardinal mistake.
Yeah.
So now I have a guideline. Now I know.
Okay.
That's why my kids text me all the time. And that's why... you know, women in their 30s, 40s, whatever, prefer phone calls.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'll have to remember that. And maybe that's because when texting started. I don't know. Maybe it's the kids that grew up on texting.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's true. I did, you know. Yeah. And for me, it's easy. Like, it's easier to text because then I can do it when I want to.
Exactly. That's why I like texting.
But if you're trying to date somebody, I personally think that it shows a lack of effort because you're literally squeezing the person into when you remember to write them.
Mm.
So, like, a guy I used to date, like, I've gone on, like, five or six dates with him. He would text me at the strangest times, and I'm like, is it because you just remembered I'm alive? Like, where were you the other hours of the day?
Yeah.
And it's always around like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, how are you bored on your couch, or is it during a commercial break? Like, when did you remember me?
Yeah.
And why then? I'm like, that's not the time to like start up a conversation, and it usually isn't. It's like, hey, hi, how are you? Good, you? And it's like the most... like insignificant conversation ever.
Right.
So finally I said to him, I was like, please don't write me unless you have something to say.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Or call me, pick up the phone.
Yeah. Because texting is not the same as a phone call. I mean, a phone call, you can say, how you doing? Fine. Bam. It's done. But on texting, it's like several texts just to say, how are you? And what are you doing? And things like that. Yeah.
And there's no like flow in the conversation because then all of a sudden you could get a phone call or like you could put your phone away or charge it. And like you don't tell the other person like, hey, I'll be back in 15 minutes to text you again. I'm going to charge my phone.
Yeah.
Like that never happens. So people would just feel ignored, forgotten. Like,
but not necessarily, because I think people understand that with text, you can't always respond right away. But I think it's a good thing because like sometimes I think it's better to text them in spurts than to wait for a phone call, like to make the phone call like later when you're done with everything.
Well, I agree with that. But I think that if somebody starts a conversation that's like, hey, how are you? That implies you are by your phone and you want to have a conversation.
Right.
But then if you drop off, it's like, huh? Crickets.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, what just happened? Did I say something wrong? Or the person could have gone into a business meeting and never told you that they did that. And then you're like, hello?
Yeah.
earth to you over there. Like, you wrote me. Did you have something to say or not?
Yeah.
So that's what I think. Like, if you actually want to make contact with somebody, you need to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And, like, had that conversation. Otherwise, it's like, hey, I just saw a billboard and I thought of you. That's fine. That's like a one-off.
Right.
That's not a real conversation.
Right.
That's like a beep, like, you know?
Okay, well, let's take a break and take our guest who's calling in right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Nigel?
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Hi,
good morning.
Nigel.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Very well. Nigel Barker, where are you calling us from this morning?
I am in New York City.
Oh, really? In the snow?
Well, it's not too bad. Actually, today, although it's a bit cold, it is, in fact, very, very sunny and lovely. And I'm looking at a big blue sky and a clear Hudson River. So versus the sort of icy one we've had for the past few weeks.
Wow, amazing. So you're getting a little break. I know we have a glorious day here in L.A. Do you come to L.A. sometimes?
I do. I come to L.A. sort of probably about 4 or 5 times a year normally, and I used to live there on and off when shooting America's Next Top Model back in the day.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you were part of that show. What years? What seasons?
Seasons 2 to 18. So I was a part of it for 17 seasons, so a long time. 2003 for almost a decade.
Wow.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, it is a long time to be doing anything. So apparently the show has been quite successful. Is it still on?
Well, exactly. Since I left, you're asking the question, is it still on?
Well, no. No, I thought there was somebody else after you.
No, there is. That was being facetious.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's irrelevant now that you're not on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's still on. It's in season 22, I think, at the moment, actually.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, you see, I fell for this because I haven't watched the show, so I don't know. But now, after I've spoken to you, I'm going to start watching maybe past seasons to see you in action. So that's pretty cool. Now, were you part of the people that launched the show? I mean, were you part of the organizers, the producers?
I was not one of the producers. I was involved season 2 onwards. So essentially season 1, the show was on a network called UPN, which doesn't exist anymore.
I remember that network.
And yeah. You know, it was a sort of a success, but a very quiet success. And it became a bit of a cult show. And on season 2, when it started to expand, they approached me and asked me if I would like to be a photographer for one episode. That actually led to me being asked to be on full time. And as they say, the rest is history.
Very cool. So you started there as a photographer, not necessarily as a judge, right?
Well, I ended up doing both. But yes, my very first sort of scene on the whole thing was as a photographer, which is what I am. And of course, all the judges were people from the business. So they were editors, they were makeup artists, they were runway coaches, and of course, myself as a photographer and Tyra as the supermodel.
Right. So you were like a fashion photographer. That pretty much, right? You don't do as much nature, or do you?
I shoot models in nature.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of those on the show. With, like, a snake.
Very cool. When did you start, when did you get into photography, Nigel?
I have been, I guess, involved with this whole business since I was a kid. I mean, hence, you know, my book, Models of Influence, it's based on my life, and it's based on, you know, my mother was a model in the 60s and the 50s, and I myself was a model in the late 80s, and I became a photographer full-time in the mid-90s and moved to New York and opened a studio in 96.
That's cool. So you've written several books, right? I mean, this book we're
this is my second sort of personal book. I've been involved with several other books on top of that, but Beauty Equation came out with Abrams in, 4 years ago, and then my new book, Models of Influence, 50 Women Who Reset the Course of Fashion, came out with HarperCollins February 15th, and, you know, yep, I'm going to be in L.A. promoting it and at Book Soup tomorrow night.
Very cool. Congratulations. So, Models of Influence, tell us a little bit about what the book is about.
Well, it's an interesting take. I mean, it has been very well received by the models themselves, which is wonderful. I've had, you know, Paulina Poroskova, Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington write really lovely things about the book. And, you know, the book is essentially, as it suggests, it is about models of influence, not so much about models who are the richest or necessarily the most successful, although there are many great, very famous, well-known models in there. But it's about models who helped shape the way we see beauty over the years. And it starts in the 1940s, and it comes all the way through to present day, broken up into sort of eight chapters, which sort of coordinate with the various decades and moments in time, from the sort of swinging 60s through to the sort of salacious 70s into the 80s and the supermodel period of the 90s, the androgyny of the late 90s, and again, all the way up until now. And can we talk about which were the models which were pivotal in changing how we saw beauty, whether it would be Twiggy for the swinging 60s, you know, someone like Lauren Hutton in the 70s and Iman in the 70s and Christie Brinkley in the 80s and Paulina Poroskova and, you know, Elle McPherson through to the supermodels of Christy Turlington, Linda Evangelista, Naomi Campbell and in the early 90s, Kate Moss and so on and so forth as we go through history. And it's about those pivotal moments. What happened? Why did it happen? And we talk about the politics, we talk about the religion, we talk about what was happening in the world at the time, and the general zeitgeist and how all of this connects.
That's very interesting, you know, because we often look at models as just like on the outside, you know. We don't really think there's a person inside and what goes through their mind and their career and everything. And they seem like almost like mannequins sometimes. So you're giving them like a dimension here where we can actually see the people behind the scenes.
Well, that for sure. But I think on top of that, I think it's more to do with, you know, we all, you know, as society, you know, sort of suggest, and certainly the media does, that fashion can be frivolous, and that, you know, fashion is just clothes, and the models are just, as you said, mannequins who wear them, and that's it. But the reality is that, you know, beauty and the subject of beauty and the interest around the fashion business is something that's been around for a very, very long time, millennia, in fact, you know. And even people like the Pythagoreans, you know, had theories on what beauty stood for and how it was designed and created. And obviously, in this day and age, there isn't a person, you know, who isn't connected with it in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, why do we do the things that we do? Why, you know, is it unacceptable to be too skinny as a model? Or why aren't there enough models of color? Or why aren't there more models who are more full-figured? And so on and so forth. And this affects us culturally, and it affects us, you know, as we move forward as a species almost. So the topic of conversation is one that's both controversial and important.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, this, like, really piqued my interest now, because I'm thinking about this, and it never occurred to me really to think about the modeling world, you know. But I think, and you started mentioning some of the famous models, and we have a lot of them, you know, so it's not like they're anonymous like they are many times, but they've made names for themselves.
So we have in the book specifically, there are models that you've heard of, you know, the Gisele Bündchens and the Kate Mosses and the Christy Turlingtons. But there are also models there that are perhaps less famous, less well known, starting in the 1940s with people like Lisa Fonsegreaves Penn, who you may not have heard of, but was Irving Penn's wife and was pretty much the very first sort of supermodel in the 1940s post-war. Wow. When the fashion business and fashion photography sort of rose out of the ashes of the Second World War, and you know, it was a time when we were yearning for glamour and opulence, having endured graceless times during the war. And it was a model like her, with her sort of hourglass figure, and sort of who stood for this sort of as an exemplar of perfection in many respects, is what society yearned, because we'd had such a, you know, the reverse of it. You know, so we go through history. We're talking about people like this, people like Naomi Sims in the 60s, who was the very first black model on the cover of a magazine, and the very first black model on a national TV commercial in 1967. And we talk about how that happened and what she had to do to make it happen.
Very interesting. Now, you also host a show called The Face, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. I've been the host of The Face now for several seasons, and it's with Naomi Campbell as my partner in crime. And we've had also Coco Rocha, Carolina Kokova, Lydia Hurst, and Anne V, other very successful supermodels. And the show is about mentoring. It's sort of similar to how The Voice is to American Idol. In many respects, The Face is to America's Next Top Model, in as much as we have our three supermodel coaches each season, of which Naomi Campbell is always one. And they pick teams of aspiring models, and then they are given challenges every week where they have sort of editorial shoots, advertising shoots, things that we do in fashion, and our supermodels coach their team through it, and certain teams win and they get the job and it becomes a real job in the real world, and that team is safe and so on and so forth.
Very cool. Now, I don't watch much TV, so tell us where people can find the show.
The show, The Face, is on Oxygen, and America's Next Top Model, of course, was on the CW, still is, and right. I think you can watch all of these shows on most of those properties, including E! And Bravo, and you know, and I know that Style and a lot of these networks play our shows on rerun and what have you.
Amazing. So, The Face, were you involved in launching that one?
I was involved in launching that one, so I've been there since the beginning, and we've had a lot of fun with it, and you know, I'm currently working on a bunch of other new shows, and a big part of it, working with people like Naomi Campbell, who, by the way, I worked with as a model initially in 1990, for Chanel with Karl Lagerfeld, and you know, now working with her again 25 years almost later, she's completely the same, hasn't changed one iota.
It's hard to imagine.
Years ago, and I, on the other hand, look completely different.
I know, it's hard to believe so much time has gone since then, you know, because she still looks glorious, you know. I mean, she looks
absolutely
amazing, you know, and so do many of the other models. You probably saw the recent picture of Cindy Crawford, right?
I was just going to bring that up, Sam. You know,
the
truth is that whoever released that photo actually photoshopped that.
Really?
Yeah.
So that wasn't real?
No, and her husband posted a picture of her on Instagram of like what she actually looks like.
Yeah, that's terrible. I don't think she would have put a picture like that up. What do you think, Nigel?
Well, I mean, she didn't put it up. I mean, the other thing is too is that I don't know whether the picture that was put up was photoshopped to look worse or not worse. The reality is that lighting itself can make things look far worse. I mean, if you have any kind of blemish and you light someone harshly, then a shadow is caused, you know, and then it looks bad. So you can get anybody and make them look terrible, right?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
What's happened these days, and it's happened a lot, and it's because of retouching, is that a lot of photographers will use very, very dramatic lighting, which they will then say, don't worry, I'll fix all the wrinkles and all the lines and all the blemishes in retouching after the fact. And then they get a very dramatic kind of style picture, which, you know, back in the day when we shot with film and it wasn't really as cost effective to retouch as heavily, only very light touching with, you know, with a sort of a paintbrush onto the print itself, you know, we would have to light in a fashion that was complementary in the photograph, so that you would light for someone so that they would look their best, not look their worst and then have to fix it after the fact. You know, so it's a very different style of how photography has actually moved more recently. And not to say that everyone does that, but it's certainly commonplace. And when you see a picture like that, which was very, very harshly lit, you know, and she's turning, and it was a shot that was not one was ever meant to be seen, and everyone can take, you know, a particular picture that's not great. And you have to figure, she's an incredibly attractive woman. I actually know Cindy very well. I had dinner with her only a few weeks ago, and you know, you're never going to meet someone who looks as amazing as she does at 50 odd years of age with two children. You know, she's an extraordinary beauty. So that picture does not do her justice in any shape or form.
Right, and she is 60. I mean, you know, sometimes we expect from our celebrities to stay beautiful or at least young looking forever, and it just doesn't happen. Everybody ages eventually, and I think it's just a great accomplishment that they manage to still carry themselves well and look great.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, Nigel Barker. So you have two books. One is Beauty Equation. The other one is Models of Influence. Go ahead and give out your website so people can find out more.
Well, fantastic. Thank you. It's www.nigelbarker.tv, and under the news section, you can find out about my book tour. But I'm going to be at Book Soup at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or you know, on Saturday, which is going to be a lot of fun in Los Angeles. So you know, I hope to see everyone there.
Really, this Saturday, like tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow. Well, I'm coming out there. What time?
4.
I'll be there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
4
doing
o'clock.
Doing a Q&A and a book signing. It's at 8818 Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, Book Soup is a small, well, relatively small bookstore.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's right by me. I love that bookstore.
Yeah.
I'm very keen on working with all the indie bookstores. So my book tour has been predominantly with the smaller mom and pop shops versus the sort of the big chains, because just because it's really that with the book industry suffering as much as it has, I think one needs to support these, you know, really the niche bookstores, and they're the ones who really care about, you know, these sorts of things and the signings and the authors. So
that's,
you know,
true.
Come out and support them too. I think all our local communities need to do this for bookstores.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not like we have a lot of Barnes & Noble left anyway. You know, they close down a lot. So, yeah, and I support bookstores too, although I buy stuff from Amazon, but I'll still go to bookstores and pay full price because I also want to support them, you know, because I love bookstores. And
it's important. It's an important thing for the youth of today to be able to go into a bookstore and actually browse, you know, a book, the books on the shelves. You know, when you don't have that tactile moment with a book, it's a very sad thing. I mean, I think growing up as a child myself, one of my favorite places I would find myself for any time I had a spare moment was to wander into the library and to sit down with the books. Just the smell of the pages was enough to nostalgically take me somewhere special. And, and I feel that that's something that's dying out all over, really.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, go out and get Models of Influence. The website is nigelbarker.tv, and you can find out everything about his photography, philanthropy, film, and TV. So you've done quite a bit, and that's when did you move to the States?
I've been here since around 96, actually. So, and I became an American citizen pretty soon after. So at this point, I'm fully immersed in the American culture.
Yes, sir. Yes, you are.
But you have that great accent, so never lose that.
And the great British
looks,
too.
That's one of the great things about the United States. There's people from all over the world.
Yeah. Nigel, thank you very much. And I'm going to do my best to be down there so we
Me
can
too.
Meet in person.
It's down the street.
Wonderful. I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Awesome,
see you
Nigel.
Soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Warm regards.
Bye. Wow. Very fun guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, yeah, I actually want to read the book. I'll go buy it and have him sign it for me.
I would like
what
to
do
that too.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because you need to support the guests sometimes too, you know.
I
mean,
I
they
agree.
Can send us a free book, but you know what, $20 for a book, no big deal.
No, I mean, it sounds like a really cool book. I wonder, though, if it's like a coffee table book or if it's like a real book that you like read.
I think he had a coffee table book before, which is called Raw. I saw that on the website. But I think this one is like a narrative type of book. I don't know if there's... There's probably photographs in there, I'm sure, but I think it's more like... like the written word.
How do those work, though, like book signings? Like, how long are the lines and, like, how long do
it depends on who it is.
Right.
You know, I remember when Howard Stern was signing his books, you had lines out the door. I didn't go, but I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're gonna bring... but I think he's going to have quite a bit of turnout.
Totally.
Yeah. It's cool. Maybe there'll be some models there, who knows, coming to visit him. So why not, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing, you know. I mean, it's also amazing, you know, we've had a few models here, and they always talk about inner beauty and everything. But the bottom line is they've made it because they have more than just inner beauty, you know. They have what it takes. They have what it takes. And some – but the amazing thing is some women have the look of a model and everything, and they pursue something else because to them the look is not as important as – whatever, their career in something else.
Yes.
You know, so you see them getting involved in all kinds of, you know, intellectual things or whatever, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. And the interesting thing is how you find these men who love to take pictures of beautiful women, you know. And we've had, like, several photographers like that here, and they do a tremendous job, you know. But it's like... if you decide to be a photographer, why not beautiful women, you know? I mean, nature is nice, yeah, you know. News photography is nice, but, hey, beautiful women, nobody argues with that, you know? So it's the ideal job.
You might have missed your calling.
Yeah, I know. Well, like we started talking about, yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, I'm pretty happy with... overall with my life, you know.
That's good.
Although I feel there's quite a bit of things that I missed out on.
I mean, you're not dead. You can still do stuff.
That's true. That's true. It's very true. And but the perspective is different now. So we were talking about this, and, you know, so I said, you know, so what I came away with this is from Tinder is that I better start looking for a life mate because, you know, you don't want to grow old without anybody.
Right.
Although I'm still in the playing the field mode, you know. So I don't know, but I better start thinking about that. Because I think for the dating, my requirements are different from what I would expect from someone I marry.
Why is that?
Because dating, like dating to play, it's not, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really looking to be attached with anyone right now. I don't want to have to report where I'm going, when I'm coming back. I'm just still at that period where I enjoy my freedom.
Well, then maybe Tinder is for you.
Nah, I don't know. Maybe if I put in 60 plus, for women 60 plus, they'll be interested in me.
I mean, I have no idea how it works at any given point, just because it just depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
And who's also looking for the same thing.
I mean, exactly.
The best quote ever, and I'm going to butcher it, is like, if your demons can play well in a sandbox with somebody else's demons.
I like that. That's
because
pretty cool.
Then it like matches up and like you expect the same things out of each other. You don't expect any more or any less. And you're, you know, you match for whatever reason.
Right.
And it's hard to find that.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, well, you know. Everybody gets their turn at being young, I guess, and I just have to be grateful that I did too. It's just that my young years, my 30s were tough. My 30s were like, I mean, if you want to talk about like fate and stuff and destiny, my 30s sucked, you know.
Why?
And those are the times, well, you know, I had like emotional problems and I got divorced and all kinds of things. So it wasn't a good time for me. And those are the times to really enjoy yourself. You know, I mean, I was building the family and everything, and then it collapsed. You know, I got divorced and all that stuff. So it wasn't pretty. Although, you know, the early 90s, I had my my kids, you know. So that was great. But then having to break up with their mother and not be able to raise them in the same house really affected me for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I wasn't out there playing the field at all, you know.
And then you got married again.
And then I got married again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometime, quite a bit after that. Like maybe 10 years after I got divorced.
I mean, I know you feel old, but you're not that old.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well. It's all relative, right?
I mean, my mom found her boyfriend, you know, after she'd been with my dad for 28 years.
That's true.
My mom is no spring chicken, and neither is her boyfriend. So.
That's true. Yeah, you just got to look for different things.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, shoot me for looking for good looks. What can I say? Who doesn't?
Well, I think.
You know, look, men are more into looks. What can I tell you?
It's true. Yeah. However, there needs to be more to it, especially if you're older. I think that the women you would probably be encountering will want way more substance than
absolutely.
Younger women.
Absolutely. But how do you turn yourself on?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So you see, that's what I mean. Oh, wow. Okay, well, in related news, the big headline on CNN is your penis size normal? Now, do you expect this on CNN? I never expected that. But
no, but
they
that's
take
funny.
But they take sort of like a medical approach to this. And they're saying that penis size is a pretty common and often misplaced medical concern for men. So they're saying that, you know, some men are like till their 40s without being in a relationship because they think they're not normal until they go to a doctor or something and they say, hey, you're pretty normal. So they're saying the average man's penis length, and I imagine when it's erect, is 5.17 inches. So a little over 5 inches. And, you know, so, but go and convince women that, right?
Right.
That's normal. But I got to tell you, man, I mean, It is a concern for men. Let me just say I've not been ashamed of myself, so I'm okay with that. I haven't had that problem, but I can imagine for some men that it would be. But I got to tell you that anybody can be made to feel inadequate when you're next to some guys, okay?
Yeah.
We have Lexington Steele on the station doing a video show. Do you know who he is? Have you heard of him? He's a he's an African-American porn star. And, I mean, not many men make it like to become famous in porn. Uh-huh. You know, it's the women. Right. Men are there more as like props.
Yeah.
But this guy is sporting an 11-incher.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, that's pretty big.
That is.
That's pretty big. So you can see why someone like that would become a star, you know, because, look, in a way, that he's a freak.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like.
It's just different. It's not very different. It's not average by any means.
Exactly. So, I mean, for the average guy, you know, you would think, wow, that's a good freak, you know. I get to be with a lot of women and stuff like that. But you know what? The amazing thing is he told me, we were talking about, he said how the show before him has like, the host always brings pretty women and stuff. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you're around like beautiful women all the time. Okay, relatively beautiful women. Porn stars are not that great looking, but for the most part. But he says, you know, he says they like you for a couple hours until the scene is over, and that's it, you know. So although I know that many of them date within the industry because they can't really date
right.
what they call civilians, you know, because it's hard for a person like you and me to date someone who's like has sex for a living with people, right?
No chance.
Right. So they have to stay within their industry. And so I don't know how much we love the experience.
That's sad.
You know, I know. But that's what he was telling me. And I realized, I mean, this guy like has all the sex anybody could ever want, but he doesn't get satisfied.
Right. Well, that's our need as human beings to connect exactly. like on a deeper level.
Exactly. And so it's quite amazing to see, you know, and I would imagine most men would be envious and stuff, but most women do not look for something that big.
No.
From what I understand.
No.
Yeah. It's just, it's good. It's nice to look at when you're watching sex, I guess. I've never seen a movie of his, but I looked up his pictures and stuff. And man, that's different. So, and there's a group of them. You know, it's called it's a genre called BBC, which is Big Black
Cock. Oh my goodness!
So you sometimes bring him to the show, and then I Google them, and I go, oh my God, everyone's bigger than the other.
Yikes! Wait, is that his? That can't be his real name. Is that his like porn
Lexington
name?
Lexington Steel. Yeah, it's a porn name.
What's his real?
I mean, this guy. We should invite him to the show because you've never met. A more intelligent, well-spoken guy.
Yeah.
He used to be, he's got a master's degree. He was a successful Wall Street trader.
What?
Yeah. And then the idea came to him. It was like, man, you know, I got something I can sell here. You know, so I'll invite him on the show again. It's fascinating
okay.
stuff. You should listen to what he has to say. He totally does not behave like conceited or anything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a phone call. I think I know who it is, so I'm going to take it, okay?
Okay.
We usually don't take phone calls, but good morning. You're on the air. How you doing, Steven?
Hi.
Hi.
You see, pretty good, Sam.
I recognize the area code, man.
Say, yeah, you are a mind reader. You could tell it was me.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you.
I felt my vibe all the way from St. Louis.
There you go, St. Louis Steve. Man, I haven't heard from you in so long.
I've been trying to call in, but you're always so busy with your guests, I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah, that's cool. I appreciate that.
I'm listening to the show today, and it's like, wow, this is hitting in on a lot of... I love photography, and I was like so much agreeing with what you're saying. What beautiful subject matter.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of wonderful... And women are beautiful in all kinds of ways. It's,
right.
you know, so... It's a really neat thing to be a photographer yeah. and a videographer, too.
Yeah. So, Steve, what's going on with you? Don't you have a radio show, too?
Yeah, I sure do.
Why don't you go ahead and promote that?
Thursday evenings, it's broadcasted from the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Our radio station's called The U, and my show is called Space is the Place. And I love it. It's every Thursday evening from 5 till 7, you know, Central Standard Time.
Right.
And
is there a website where people can go?
Yeah. You go to umsolradio.com, umslradio.com.
Oh, okay.
You can listen, stream, you know. I've got listeners all around the world. You know, it's just sort of like this internet radio thing you got. You know, you reach out all around the world, and it's amazing, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So
like, your show is about space?
Well, I was doing a couple different ideas and themes of songs related to the moon and the stars and all the, you know, kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And also at one time I was working at Boeing, and I was tracking the NASA missions, and we'd talk about what's going on up in the sky and stuff like that, and then bring in some heavy-duty songs that are related to, you know.
Cool. So it's a music-based show.
Sun Ra, the jazz, wonderful jazz musician Sun Ra, he's not with us now. He went back to his other planet. He made a song called Space is the Place. And so I kind of used that as my theme song, too.
Very cool. So it's a music-based show.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
and you know, I've been leaning more towards jazz lately. It's really cool. Like last night we had Laura Ainsworth. She's from Dallas, Texas. She called in and we spoke about her music. Wow, you ought to check her out. You would just love her music, I tell you, man. She's great.
Really? What's her name again?
Laura Ainsworth. You should get her on your show.
Okay. We'll look her up and see.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a thing I could send to you if you want.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm really liking your show a lot, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate you still listening after all these years. Say hi to Jen. You never talked to Jen before.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've said hi to you before when you first got brought in. Because, you know, Sam goes through these guest co-hosts like underwear, you know.
Shut up. They're the ones who leave, man.
You might want to stick around for a little bit, though, you know.
Yeah.
I think I will.
Yeah. You got to understand something, Steve.
I like your voice, you know. I haven't really gotten involved with any conversations. I think I might have sent you a note on Facebook or something. Yeah, you guys really are good together, so that's cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we
anybody that can keep put up with Sam for an hour.
There you go. There you go. You see? Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the confidence.
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay. Take care.
Have fun.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been listening for a long time. He's seen the show transform itself many times. And you know, it's always been great, you know, because... And I like that we've had a variety, you know. And, I mean, for the record, it was never me. I think there was only one co-host that I had to let go because she wasn't showing up.
Oh, no.
You know, that was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then one day she didn't show up or call me or text me or anything.
That's just rude.
Yeah, I mean, 10 o'clock comes in. It was actually, the show was 2 hours back then, so 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. She didn't even bother coming in or calling. I'm like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
This is your own show.
Right.
So, yeah. But otherwise, it's, you know, I mean, you get young women here who are into their career. They find different things. And I'm all for, like, you know, keep expanding your career and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And besides, it's been 7 years, you know. It's not like... it's not a situation where, like, Howard Stern and Robin, who have been together for 30 years or something, you know.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So this is an experimental all the way still, you know.
Totally.
So. But at any rate, wow, we're almost out of time.
I know. Sam, it's almost the weekend. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'll tell you after the weekend.
All right.
Yeah, because I never know what's going to happen.
Well, I hope it involves you updating your Tinder profile and getting some matches.
Yeah, definitely. And you're going to tell me how to do it. Even if we have to do it by email, you're going to have to tell
me. Before I leave the studio today, we're going to take a look at your profile.
Show me what it looks like. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I looked everywhere. There's two buttons and I don't know.
That's all right.
Yeah, I need to find it.
It's okay.
I can't believe it that, you know, I mean, I'm like the technology master. And I'm even falling behind the younger generation now, you know. I mean, you'll have, like, my son ask him anything. In 2 seconds, he's got the answer with his phone.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because my dad has, like, an Android or something that I don't relate to. And he'll call me and ask me how to work his phone. I'm like, first of all, my friend, you are in Florida and I am in California. Second of all, the time it took you to ask me and make a phone call, you could have Googled that thing. Third, how do I know how to use your phone and you don't? I have an iPhone. But he's like, well, you're young. You'll figure it out. I'm like, what's that saying about you? What is it?
All right. Well, so much for age differences today, folks. Everybody have a great weekend. Do you have big plans?
Are
you
of course I do.
Good. You always do.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're going to tell us all about them on Monday.
Yes.
If I have anything exciting, I'll tell you too.
Great.
I was going to drive up to San Francisco, but it's not happening this weekend.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. But, you know, I want to see my son, and then he's probably coming down for spring break. So it probably won't happen till April that I go there. But, yeah, we'll find things to do. I mean, it's beautiful weather. Maybe I'll go biking on the beach tomorrow.
You should.
Yeah, I know.
It is beautiful. Sorry, New York.
Yeah, there you go. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
See everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen. Right here on LA Talk Radio.